Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
The disciples gathered on the day of Pentecost to pray. According to the account in the book of Acts, they were not really expecting to experience what came upon them that day. But the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, as prophesied by the prophet Joel, and confirmed by the words of Jesus. When that took place, they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know something? They had no strategy meeting. They didn't come together and say, "Now, what shall we do? Now that the Spirit of God has fallen upon us, what shall we do?" No, that was not the course they took. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Today we hear a great deal about planting churches, strategizing, trying to learn how shall we do this, what proceeding shall we take. The Apostle Paul spoke not about planting a church, but building a church. He compared the church to a building. His blueprint is found in 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 17. Have your Bible open and ready to that scripture text. And here is the Word of God. "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." In Paul's blueprint for building a church, I find several sketches of the details. The first sketch is, define the foundation. He said he was a wise master builder. This is the term for architect. He saw all the details clearly entwined as a wise master builder. And he said he had laid the foundation. That, of course, is first in importance. No lasting building can be built without a foundation, a good foundation, a sturdy foundation, a well-constructed foundation. A single foundation is stated. There is no other. Paul said that no man can lay a different foundation than he had laid, and that is Jesus Christ. That is a single foundation, not many. Some years ago, a friend of mine pastoring a church told me that he had an evangelist come to his church, appointed by his supervisor, who one evening stood in the pulpit of his church and said, "The very idea that anyone would say there is only one way to God. There are many ways to God." Now, he was wrong, according to the Apostle Paul, because Paul said there's only one foundation. That would mean there's only one way to God. You know what Jesus said? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." And you know what Peter said? Peter said there's no other foundation. Peter said, when he spoke to the Sanhedrin, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." My friend, I must insist, there is only one foundation. I have learned that in some countries where idolatry is practiced, there are hundreds of millions of gods. They're man-made. They're well-designed. I have pictures of them, little ones, bigger ones, man-made, molded, shaped, carved. They take this image and set it on a shelf and say, "This is my God." Oh, no. Yes, it's true. Oh, my friend. You know, Jesus said to Peter and the disciples when Peter made the great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." There's only one foundation. Define it carefully, my friend, to build a church. The second sketch is, refine the material. Now look carefully in the Bible, and you will see what kind of material the Apostle Paul spoke of. He said, "Some may build one way, and some build another. Every man's work will be declared. A man may build on the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Look at the classification made by these six choices. There are six choices in a descending scale, I would say. Gold, the choice metal, the one that can be destroyed the least. Silver, the second choice. Precious stones, the third choice. These are indestructible. They don't burn. They don't burn up. We might melt them, indeed, as the soldiers did when they burned the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70. The Roman soldiers pried the stones apart in order to get the gold that melted and ran down between the stones. But the gold was good. Precious metals are indestructible. We might say that is one classification of material, the refining of the material. And then there are the other three. Wood, which is combustible. Hay is transitory. Stubble is a waste product. These do not last. We know in some countries and cultures they use hay to thatch their roofs. And of course, if they should catch on fire, they would soon be gone. Wood is burnable, combustible. Stubble is a waste product. The revealing day will test all these materials by fire. Work to last or to be destroyed. My friend, it is highly important to refine the material. The reward comes when the work is tested, as the Apostle Paul teaches us, tested by fire. The third sketch is, enshrine the Spirit. Oh, these are two glorious verses. "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Believers are temples that house the Spirit. The image here is the Old Testament tabernacle, or the temple. God described it and ordered Moses to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. Then Solomon enlarged it and built a temple on Mount Moriah that David had bought for the temple of God. It was beautiful. Outstanding. It cost millions of dollars even in those days. The point of it all was, God said that he was going to meet with his people in the Holy of Holies there by the mercy seat. The cherubim overshadowing the mercy seat, and under the mercy seat was the broken law. "This," God said, "is the place where I am going to meet with you." The Apostle Paul picked up this image and said, "We as a church, as a body, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us." The temple enshrouded the glory of God. Now I think we can also make some application to the individual Christian. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, so the Apostle teaches us in Romans the 6th chapter. We are to be occupied, possessed, guided, enabled by the Spirit of God. His presence is to glorify us. Set us off from the common run of people. Then there's a strong warning against defiling the temple of God. The apostle says, if any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. Oh, in the churches today, isn't there an awful lot of bickering and fighting within? It's not really very surprising that people outside look inside and say, what's going on there? There are some churches, unfortunately, where the members have become so controversial that they have had to take their case to the civil court. That doesn't really make sense, does it? Take care what you do to the temple of God. Be careful. Oh, what a grand privilege we have to be a dwelling place for the Spirit of God, to have the Spirit of God indwell us and enable us. The Shekinah glory of God may rest upon us. What a privilege to have the indwelling presence of God with us. We are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. Let every church builder learn from these sketches from the Apostle Paul in the blueprint of how to build a church. First of all, define the foundation. A building is no better than its foundation, and there is only one foundation for the church, Jesus Christ. Refine the material. Choose the best. Discard what is combustible and build with what is lasting. Enshrine the Spirit. Acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life as a Christian. Recognize Him. Yield yourself to Him. Be what He wants you to be. Now join me as I pray. O God, what a tremendous challenge the Apostle Paul brings to us. I would, dear Lord, that churches all over our land would be modeled like this church that Paul spoke of, grounded on the real foundation, Jesus Christ, built of gold and precious stone, housing the Spirit of God, that the Word of God might be sent forth by the people of God. O Lord, hear my prayer. Bless my friend and me, dear Lord. We want to be good material in the Church of God, and I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, my friend, there you have God's blueprint on how to build a church. Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for opening our understanding through the sketches you presented. My friend, in your local church fellowship, is Jesus Christ the foundation you're building on? Or is it the teachings of men? You know, Jesus gave some very practical teaching on how to determine what foundation we're building on. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. I encourage you to read those verses on your own. And if you have a question or a comment on the teaching you heard on today's program, or if you have a prayer request, write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your request by the email link that's provided there. And our mailing address, Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3. Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Now you'll be sure to join us next week as Dr. Yoder opens the Word and teaches us from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.